Good evening, America, and welcome to our First Ride conference call for August 5th of 2019. My name is Johnny B., and these calls occur Monday evenings at 8 o'clock Central Time, with post-discussion ongoing once the recording is closed. And we try to keep the recordings pertain to progress and serve as an archival vault of this momentous action that we set out upon. Our First Ride initiative is Real Americans' efforts to draw together a coalition of focused Americans, the folks focused upon leading the way to restoring real American liberty and freedom under the perfected guidelines, the United States Constitution. This will be a very short-lived effort, as our First Ride will dissolve once the ratification of the original first article is completed. The first enforcement mechanism in the original 12 protections passed with the Bill of Rights, that first article being the proportional representation, and the only thing George Washington actually spoke to during the entirety of the state's convention of 1787. This conference call, folks, operates in an open line format. This means that if you have any noises occurring around you, it'll interfere with the conversation within this room. So please use your mute button on your phone or press star 6 and the system will mute you. The operator should announce that. And then you just press star 6 again and it will unmute your line. And that way you can enter and leave the discussion as you wish. Thank you all for being here. God bless you. Stay at the plow if you would. We're trudging forward. So with that, we will grab our favorite beverage, hang on to a pencil, hopefully a piece of paper or two, catch a few details pop up, and we'll get into this call, y'all. Thanks.
Thank you, Johnny D. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our First Ride National Conference call. Today is August 5th, 2019, and I want to thank everybody for joining us. It's been a long summer, and it's been a long month already. It's just August, and we still have so much more work to do. But first things first, I'd like to acknowledge some people and give thanks to some folks. Thank you, Jen Perry, for the work that she's been doing for us, the social media work, getting our website, our Facebook pages set up on Facebook. That's really wonderful. And I want to thank Dixie for all the work that she's been doing. I know that she's been multitasking in the background herself all the time. Also, I want to thank Bill Hosey, Dan Hosey, Daniel New, especially for his push from behind. He's really trudging forward, and he's pulling us forward, folks. So we need to start, picking up the pace because he's outpacing all of us, and that's a hard thing to do. So thank you very much, Daniel. Tonight, I think we ought to go ahead and set up a date for a board meeting. And I'd like to get everybody's input, best time, date. We need to try to set up a meeting before the end of this month, if we can do that, please. And if anybody has any suggestions or the best time or day, please speak up. If I've got any takers here, because I know I've got lots of folks here, so go ahead and speak up, because we really need to get some things done. Have to have our board meeting and get some positions filled. So I'd like to get that taken care of. We also have a strategic planning meeting coming up, and we'll give more details about that after that meeting. Dixie's been doing a wonderful job compiling all the information from that committee, and hopefully with all that information we have, we can really put together a really strong format for our First Ride that we can present to potential donors, large donors, that we can present to the general population, the public at large. It'll help us with so many different areas and kind of spiffing us up and making us look better, because we have our mission statement together, we have our initiative together, we have our action plan together. So that committee is so important that it's pulling all of that together and cleaning up all of our loose ends. So I want to thank Dixie for all of that hard work there. I've heard some mumblings and rumblings about getting Oklahoma to be the 12th state, and I was hoping that we had Chief on board with us. Maybe he would like to speak up and say a few words about that. I know that he's a he posted a really lovely post on our First Write for us. And I hope that that encourages more people to get in there and write to Representative Moore and other people in Oklahoma that you may know. If you have friends and family in Oklahoma, send them our phone number. Tell them all about our First Write. Come in and call this number and listen to what they're doing. Do what we can do in Oklahoma. There's a little bit of interest, so if we can peak some more, that would be great. And I feel like I'm talking to myself tonight, and that's not what this is about. So if anybody wants to step forward and has anything to say, please come forward. This is an open forum, and we're working on issues and trying to get action done. And the way we do that is allow, you know, people to come in and just talk openly and give ideas and thoughts, questions, opinions. We need it all. That's how we get our act together and do better and push forward more. That being said, did anybody happen to catch President Trump's speech today in regards to all the shootings in Texas and Ohio?
I thought he was talking about the ones in Chicago and Baltimore.
Well, he didn't mention them at all.
No, there was the one in Toledo, too, apparently, that did not happen. I just thought it was very interesting that as a result of that, his speech today, if anybody happened to catch it, he's talking about making stronger red flag laws, and that should be a red flag for all of us. So I was hoping that folks caught wind of that speech, heard some of that, and understand, you know, what this could possibly mean if we don't even step up even more.
Art, the speech concerned me.
Yes.
That's where you're going, very much.
Yes.
The racism, the hate crimes, the amount of personal sovereignty we could all lose as a result. It's hard to say with Trump, because he has the ability to say what you want to hear, what the public wants to hear, and then never follow up on it. And I'm hoping that that's what's happening here. However, he still has set the stage, and he's built up hope, and that kind of energy will be released eventually. So I don't know whether you're aware of it or not, but there's a representative from Cincinnati, Ohio, around the Dayton area, that commented on the killings and said that the problem was the breakdown of the family. Of course, I'm going to pay attention to that.
Wow.
And she mentioned the things that were happening in the family. And, of course, homosexuality, the other things that all attack the family. And she was attacked. First of all, she got threats from the homosexual community, so she has there's a guard at her house now because of the threats.
Hmm.
But the Republican Party head, Jane Timken, the head of the Republican Party in Ohio, has asked for her to resign.
Wow.
Which is very telling. It's really getting interesting here. And this gal is sassy, and she's not going to take any guff, but they're piling up against her because she's basically stating that we're what I've been saying, we're an amoral society, and yeah, we've forgotten about the family. Because we've forgotten about the family, guess what's happening? And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm surprised not more of this is happening in America than is happening now. Just our government-run schools teach our children that life has no meaning. Huge. Morals are relative. Multiculturalism, diversity, and man, you are the major of all things. So if you want to take a gun, or if you want to blow somebody up, or you want to take a knife, it doesn't make any difference. You don't mean anything anyway. I mean, you're meaningless, and you can make your own choices. Your man's the major of all things. And you're diverse, so just go ahead and do it. And then when children get in, and these are children, get into situations they don't understand and they panic, bam, I'm done.
Well said. Very well said. And it brings up, you know, all of this that he said today. everything that you just brought up, Jim, and then some. We're looking at a situation where the citizens are almost at war with our own government now, because they are going to implement, and you know, he said a series of red flag laws. I'm not sure what he meant by that, but that really bothers me, because when he uses the laws instead of, you know, executive orders, I'm wondering, you know, whose representatives is he going to start arm twisting? And, you know, which states do we have to be watching for our representatives being twisted into, you know, believing that this is the way to go? Or is he himself, you know, being arm twisted? So it's, either way we look at it, it's a serious issue. It could affect us even at a local level. And that's what I wanted to ask folks next is, you know, just based on his speech alone, whether or not he has any power and authority to do that, how is that going to affect us at a local level? How is that going to affect us at a state level? You know, what does that mean? What do we have to do, too? I'm sorry, Chief.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear you very well.
But basically what the red flag laws is, you know, anybody, you know, relative, neighbor, whoever can say, that guy over there, I think he's Looney Tunes and he's got guns. And you know that next thing you know, your black SUV is pulling up in your driveway and they're confiscating your guns. I mean, that's, you know, it may sound good on the surface, you know, to some people, you know, well, yeah, somebody's crazy, they don't need guns. But at the same time, like I say, it's slippery slope, because anybody that don't like somebody, or if they think you might be a little off or whatever, which, you know, my neighbors think I am, but it's going to open up a can of worms that we don't want to open.
Yeah, it's scary to think that, you know, your neighbor or anybody could say, you know, that guy's crazy, and I think he has a gun. That's all they'd have to say, pretty much. And
that's the person they should go look at, is the one that's dropping the dime.
Yep,
correct.
Exactly.
But I'm sorry, Johnny B, you were saying?
I've got a friend down in Coffeyville that does drug testing for the railroad. And he did some tests here about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Down in Oklahoma, and it was for a division head in Arkansas, I think around Fort Scott. And one of the guys he was testing was a major. He told Richard he was a major with the Red Flag Brigade. And what they were doing is they were down there looking at the suicide from the people losing their job. And they had created this red flag on these people that were going to be losing their jobs from the railroad and putting them in destitute situations. And he said he had already lost 135 in 6 weeks. Okay. That's another way to look at the red flag. There's a whole lot of things under that red flag thing. Now, to come back around to the discussion with Mr. Trump, I come on the TV this morning, and he was already into his press release. But there were quite a few words that I heard that stood out. All the hate crime, thought crime. We're going to start gleaning your internet traffic to start identifying these people. We're going to search for ways. We're going to search for ways to make sure that these safe zones are the what they call soft targets. I don't think he used that term, but I'm hearing in the news reports now. Churches, ball stadiums, you know, soft targets, coffee shops, pretty much any place, hometown America. And he's open for anyone with helpful solutions that could get us up out of this. But the first thing I thought, okay, first of all, that's going through his gatekeepers to get to him, that there is information out there that he really needs to see. And the other thing is, all that information is only going to flow from law enforcement. So if anybody out there has an ear, in your sheriff's department especially, or any position. State out of control would be my second point. But then municipalities, chiefs, retired guys would be the good ones. They don't like to come forward, but they'll definitely look at what you got. Those are going to be the only voices that Trump's going to hear through that period. I don't want that. He hasn't even stand a chance of getting through the gatekeepers. My humble opinion, you know. But that announcement this morning scared me to death. Because it seemed like a panic. He said, but he did, he was saying all the words that the GOP and the DNC would want him to say to the public. But the public's going to do it as they will. If he makes this announcement, they all react however they're going to react. And we've got all these different ideas on just what it is they get to do out here in the county. You go back to Sheriff Mack, there were originally 15 sheriffs that come forward in protest. Sheriff Mack was one of three that completed the course. Actually, I think the case is cited under Prim, P-R-I-N-Z. Prim versus the Department of Justice, I think, was the actual case.
Well, this not only is...
So you see, that's where you're at. It's still just an announcement from the Office of the President of the United States. And it was a reaction to help quell the public disturbance of the events of last weekend. I did find it very interesting that every shooting he mentioned is a very controversial shooting in its own right, as to whether or not it was not a planned shooting by the federal police.
I'd like to get a transcript of that speech and read it again, but I believe that I heard possibly three amendments violated within that speech itself.
At least three.
At least.
Amendment violation are like Lay's potato chips. So you just can't do one. I think the average is three.
But the fact is that, you know, we need to look at how his words and what his push to want to do things is going to affect us here at the state and or local level. We're going to see our federal representatives start to run amok again. So it's important for us to pay attention to these things, regardless of whether it'll happen or not. It's still disturbing. I mean, some of his comments about, you know, the internet. I heard not too long ago somebody had mentioned that they're classifying conspiracy theory as a new domestic terrorist type issue or problem. Now I thought, now this is, it's getting ridiculous. We've got the thought police now, folks, and so we've got to do something about stopping it at some point at some level. And the only thing we have left in our pocket, our last quiver, is our first right, is that original First Amendment still sitting there. So it's the more we look at all of these things that are happening and how it can affect us at a state and down at a local level, we realize that's the one thing that's going to do it. It's the only thing that can really resolve this, because then our government is just, it's going to be so diluted at that point, they're not going to have so much concentration of power to do all of these things and get away with all of these things. We are stronger than they, but we have to be aware, we have to step up, and we have to know what's going on. And it's interesting, I was having that discussion with a young 20-something-year-old today, and she totally got it. I was just so impressed. She totally got it. She understood, and she, you know, wants to know what she can do more to be responsible. So she knows about, you know, our first right and everything. So she gets out there and she talks for me. She mentions it to people. And hopefully they're listening to her, young people. But it's not a hard thing to understand that we can turn this around with that greater representation on our federal level here. We can have those people working for us. We can tell them this is not something we want. The president can't do that. This violation can't happen. So we have to be on guard still and be vigilant, even though we haven't completed this yet, but we need to get this completed. So I'm asking folks to do as Daniel's been pleading. Please write to at least one representative in your state and talk to them about our first right. Tell them what you'd like to see happen. If you don't have the words for it, we've got plenty of letters that you can use for templates, lots of information on our Facebook page and our website. But please find one representative in your state, write to them, and tell them about our first right. It's important that we get the word out, that we start doing something now. And I kind of like what if anybody listens to our tactical civics calls that David Zuniga does on Sunday nights, I did get a kick out of him saying it again, that, you know, wouldn't it be fun to be in the face of a congressman with a camera and asking them, will you vote for this? Will you help ratify this? And, you know, he has a way of getting that point across. And, you know, putting them on the spot might be one way to do it. But I know there are more diplomatic ways we can go about it. But I do kind of get a kick out of the idea of being able to do that. Mr. New, did you have something you wanted to add?
Am I live?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Are you there, Daniel?
There you are. I was having trouble with my mute, but yeah. Look, I made contact again today with a good phone call with Penny Story in Waxahachie, Ellis County, Texas. She's
no doubt
gotten herself elected to school board there, and she was asking. She said, "Okay, I'm now in a position to get active again with OFR, and let's start doing some work." And I was hoping she would make this phone call. But in any event, she said, "Well, we're going to be interviewing candidates. We have three candidates on the Republican Party for state rep, and I need some bullets. I need some questions to ask." And it was fun to just jot down a few questions, like, "Look, you're going to be taking an oath to support and defend the Constitution, right? What can they say? But yes." Have you read that Constitution? Well, maybe they have. Maybe they haven't. Okay. What does the Constitution say about how many people should live in each district now? And they're going to say they don't know, of course, because nobody's memorized it, and very few people know it. And so you say, "Look, read this part of Article 2, Section 2 to me, and tell me what the Constitution says." So they'll read it, and they'll say, "Well, it says 30,000. And you say, "Now, how many do we have here in Texas?" "Who knew? 750,000. It's going to be an eye-opening moment for these candidates as they face the grilling squad of the Republican Party team there in Ellis County. And she's just going to say, there is a way to enlarge that district if you'd like to make it more handleable, you know, and go to 50,000 with the original First Amendment." So it's an educating moment, and that's one of the ways she's going to take this fight to the floor for the next session of the Texas legislature, is that she's going to ask her candidates, "If you win, are you willing to commit to introducing a motion to ratify and to voting for ratification of the original First Amendment?" We can all do that in our own states if we're willing to get in and get dirty and get into the political scene and take it to the candidates while they're listening. The candidates listen to us when they're seeking nomination. It's once they get elected, then they have no need of us anymore, and until the next election. But while they're still green, and especially when they're not incumbents, they tend to listen, and they have to sit there and go through these candidate forums get past their primary. So she's really got her finger on the pulse, and I think that I said now. I said, "Penny, you know, Texas is a big state, and we only meet every 2 years in the legislature, and we're not considered a prime target like the smaller states like North Dakota, South Dakota, Maine, Montana, Alaska." She said, "Yeah, but you know what? I live in Texas. Is there anybody who's going to tell me I can't start the fight here in Texas?" No, ma'am. We are not going to tell you that. I'll put you in touch with Tom Belmore. So I don't know if Tom's on the call tonight, but... I did send him her contact information. And probably, Aaron, I probably ought to send you that little list, that little questionnaire. It's just as one more piece of literature that you can read, and it will help you to when you're talking to a state rep or when you're talking to somebody who might be interested in, you know, in joining OFR. It's
if I may,
it's pretty simple. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would think that would be a fantastic tool for Penny to use with the school board members.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She's already informed the school board they're going to start teaching the Constitution in the schools in her district. And all they have said was, ma'am, yes, ma'am. So.
Excellent. Excellent. I love that answer.
Did I hear one of you guys say that you guys have a conference call for Tactical Civics?
Oh, yes, we do. On Sunday nights.
We should start advertising that.
Well, I guess, yeah, we could. That's a very good point, Jen. I was the social media evangelist for Tactical Civics before I started OFR.
Nice.
So I moved over to OFR, and we haven't been able to get a lot of the call announcements out for Tactical Civics, and you're right, we do need to do that for Tactical Civics. But the point about Tactical Civics is David has his Sunday night calls to put together his educational series of all of these podcasts. So he really doesn't, he's not paying attention to who's really on the call or who's not on the call. It's more about the information he's imparting so people can listen to it later.
Okay.
But I agree with you, it has not been promoted in quite some time.
So he has a podcast?
Well, the Sunday night calls are turned into podcasts.
So why don't we share those instead?
He does. You can find them on the Tactical Civics website. They get loaded up by Monday every day or every week.
We should, just an idea, we should, highlight that once in a while so that people know how to find it.
I think that's a good idea. We have been so busy trying to stay on top of all of our first right things that we haven't had a chance to really promote Tactical Civics that much.
Yeah, the only reason why I think it helps us, because if people feel more confident in the area of talking to representatives and dealing with local politics and stuff, then we might be able to get more people willing to help.
I agree with you. I think that might be a good idea to at least get the word out for Tactical Civics themselves. We can promote them on our First Right as another organization because they are kind of a sister organization with our First Right. But, it would require somebody from from Tactical Civics getting the call announcements out too.
Okay, we don't necessarily have to do the call announcements, but I think the podcast is probably a better idea for sharing anyway.
That's true. It's hard to explain. David has never really posted the podcast up on the Facebook page after the Sunday calls, but I believe that, you know, you can do that. They're always loaded up on the Tactical Civics website, and people know that that's where they can go to listen to it. They give instructions on the call itself.
And you know what I might do is go and listen to a bunch of them, and if I find ones that are relevant to strategies that we're using, I'll post them.
All right, and let's make sure we get permission to do that.
Yes,
because I know that is, yeah, David's archive, not mine.
Yes. Yeah, I'll ask first.
He might get a kick out of that, you know. He might even be able to suggest to you some good ones to put up that might pertain to our First Right even.
Okay. I'll look into that then.
Certainly.
Somebody
and David is
for a second.
Yes, go ahead, Chief.
I think really, you know, somebody's just coming into it. I think if they go to Tactical Civics first or America again or all that, and then come to OFR, it's really confusing because I feel like OFR is the first step. If we don't accomplish this, then tactical civics is pretty much out the window. I mean, we have to accomplish this step first. That's how I see it. I mean, you know, to me, when I first got into it, it was confusing because it was OFR, there was tactical civics, or America again. But I think OFR is the groundwork that needs to be laid first before we.
I agree with you there, Chief.
That's right. It is the first item in the America Again Declaration.
And David Zuniga agrees with that completely. And the advantage that you find in tactical civics is that he has done tremendous research and has a lot of good articles pertinent to the First Amendment that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you brought them all over, but they could all be brought over to OFR and put up on our website. But it gives us the foundation for what we need for OFR. But then again, we just focus on the First Amendment and not on all of the other solutions that David has thought up and has researched and has developed. And that will confuse you. You'll get overwhelmed when you start.
We can advertise America Again in Tactical Civics in a way that we say, if you like what we're doing here, you might like this too. But at the same time, we need to keep our focus first and keep us first because it is the first step.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of just finding the podcasts that are relevant to what we're doing and sharing those.
I think that's a great idea. Let's talk about that some more because we can introduce it in a way that people understand that he is the one that helped come up with all this information, this research, so we can promote it from that aspect as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the post we can explain that he has his own thing and he delves into a lot of other topics.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, let's talk about that some more. And I'll clear it with David. I'm sure he'll be okay, but yeah, I'll clear it with him.
Okay.
If I may, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You might focus in on it's the directors of America Again. It ain't just David. He's I believe there's like nine of them on that board. And the collective that's actually dug this information up, it's bad. Because we've used like Edmund Vieira for all the militias, or most all the militias. So. Peter Lorenzo and Peter Dale Scott to trace down Lincoln in the beginning to the deep state, and then Peter Dale Scott for the deep state actions of late. So, you know, all that information, David's kind of a master. It's a large group of people. So, you know, give David a lot of credit, but he's not acting alone. I just want to make that point brought forward. It ain't like he's out there trying to do this big thing all for David.
Well,
just
to kind of uncomplicate this a little bit for Jen, all this stuff that we're talking about, David has put out into the public domain. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Since it's already in the public domain, Jen is intelligent enough to pick through what it is that she thinks is relevant to what we're doing and just run it by Aaron. And that's good enough. And I'm sure Aaron will agree with everything that Jen sends her. Jen is one smart cookie.
I would have to. I would have to agree with that, Bill.
Hey, amen.
Because
that
I agree.
That was what we learned with David early on. You know, it wasn't so much getting David's blessings over whatever it was you wanted to bring forward. Just make sure you stayed on point. That was his critical.
He still might want to know. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
That we're advertising for him.
Yes, I don't think he'd have a problem with that. Is it Mission to America?
You might
if you ever
with his ice cream too.
I was going to suggest, Jen, if you have a chance to do some reading, Mission to America is a good book that David Zuniga has written, that helps with some of the background information of how our first right came to be.
What was that name again?
Mission to America. Is that the right one, Johnny B?
The movie?
Yeah, I believe so. No, that was David's first book.
And then what was the last one?
The last one was Tactical Civics. Oh, shoot, you just put one out. I can't remember the name of it. I can't look it up.
Well, there's This Bloodless Liberty. Yeah, This Bloodless Liberty is also a good one. I'm going through and looking up some of mine that I have. But those are some good material to read also that gives you some background information of how this all came to be. And sometimes the background of how it all came to be is just as important as the story is, getting it done too.
I think the that second book you mentioned there, what was the name of that?
This Bloodless Liberty?
This Bloodless Liberty was his first.
It was first.
Yeah, I think the Mission to America, that was the study to the churches. But I'm not sure.
Well, when you find out, just message me what it is. I'll see if I can find it and read it.
Certainly. Yeah, I'll send you a list of all of his books and materials, and you'll be able to find it. See, actually, if you go to americaagain.net, you'll probably find all of that right there.
Okay.
That is the best place. That's where it all began. And I was just looking earlier tonight, everyone, and I apologize for this, and it never occurred to me. We don't actually have the wording of the original First Amendment on our website anywhere.
Huh.
And so I'm going to get that put up there. That would be important if people, are rooting for this. It would be nice if they knew what it actually said. So we will get that up.
With a summary.
Yes. Well, there is already a summary up, but we've never actually put the actual verbiage of the original first on there.
I'm just suggesting they both be a pair.
Yes. In fact, I know right where to put it. Yes.
Could I get a few people to do their favorite search engine and just look up the Articles of Amendment, 1789? And let me know if you can find anything that was printed in 1790 at least. Because I'm not seeing anything at the Library of Congress.
Did you use Google?
Everything's 1845. I don't care what you use.
What was that again? Articles of...
Articles Amendment. Of Amendment. That's what the Bill of Rights are actually titled in the official paperwork.
Okay, let's see what I come up with.
Because everything I'm finding are compendiums compiled by attorneys at the Library of Congress.
I found an actual copy, a picture of the actual original copy of the first 12 amendments at one point.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that too. So.
Me too.
I put it in my video.
And it again would be great, yeah. Somebody dug up a photocopy of the, I think it's the Philadelphia Herald.
Former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. Correct. So you're a respected academic.
That actually had the first two articles in it. It was published the morning after. We got a background, y'all.
I just found transcription of the 1789 Joint Resolution of Congress proposing 12 amendments to the U.S. Constitution.
Wonderful. Where did you find that?
Archives.gov/. Hang on, let me. I'll copy this.
Archives.gov. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's on USConstitution.net as well. Manipulating
voters. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I just sent a link to Aaron on Facebook.
Thank you.
Did you guys already talk about Oklahoma?
Did you send it on Messenger?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We did talk a little bit. I was hoping to get Chief to come and talk some more to us. He knows the pulse of the people there in Oklahoma. So I'm hoping that he could step forward and talk to us more about what he needs from the rest of us if we're going to push for Oklahoma.
Okay.
I'm going to need a little input, from everybody on that. Maybe we can set up a chat or whatever.
Yeah. Listen,
Jim,
I want to get your group.
Just a second, Jim. Jim Harrison, we've got some background noise from you. Jim?
I wonder if you fell asleep.
You may have to mute Jim.
Yeah, I had him, unfortunately. So. Anyway, go ahead, Jim.
I wanted to get your Oklahoma group connected to the page because it will make it much easier to filter people in from Oklahoma into your group so that you can get more people to help you out.
Sure. Are you a member of the Oklahoma?
I am a member.
Okay.
Yep, and the only way that we can connect it is if either you're an admin of the page or I'm an admin of your group. So either you have to do it from your end or I have to do it from mine, but we have to be an admin on
both.
Okay,
I can add you.
Okay.
I can do that right now, maybe, if I can see what I'm doing on that side right now.
And then I'll connect
you hear it. That's why you hear all the chickadees in the background, or some people call them cicadas. But
cicadas.
I like those. So the other thing is, once it's connected to the page, with the permission of the board, I would like to put out we're focusing on Oklahoma this week or month or whatever. Anyone from Oklahoma who's interested in helping out, please, I'll pin the group so they can find it. Please join this group.
Right. And, actually, I don't think it would actually have to be from Oklahoma. I mean, if they want to write Lewis Moore or whatever, say, I'm not even a citizen of Oklahoma, but, You can be the one that gets this ball rolling.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. And because of that, so I definitely want to get people from Oklahoma into your group, but we can also let people know, hey, this is the state we're focusing on. If no matter where you're from, if you want to write a letter to or pick a representative, here's a list of them. Pick one, send a letter.
That's a great idea. In fact, I don't believe that you'd have to get permission from the board to do that. Because it's all about promoting the states and pushing this message forward. So,
okay,
I'd say that we'll make sure everybody's okay, but I'm sure it's fine. Really, I love to see that interaction. That's great. Yeah, let's promote Oklahoma.
All right.
And anything that you Jen feel needs to go up on the group page. Do we have you as moderator on the group page?
I think so.
Okay, if we don't, I'll check to make sure. I can't multitask Facebook and the FCC board right now, so I'll check it afterwards. But that would be a great way for you to be able to funnel stuff from the group into the state pages and vice versa. If you see something really pertinent, this should come forward onto the group page. So
okay.
I'd like you to have that ability too. Not a problem.
All right. Okay, so posting about joining the Oklahoma group, I would like to post on the page, but posting about the letters, I should post in the group, the main group, right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Perfect.
And let folks know that, you can direct them to that Facebook page, the closed group page. If they're not already a member, please join.
So I'm sure I can look up representatives myself, but I find that government websites are not that user-friendly, so I may struggle to find what I'm looking for. If you already
Where's
have
Bill
a list.
Hosey?
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, yes, Jerry probably does have a list, and I know Bill Hosey has been really great at checking up. Daniel knew. He virtually knows what representatives in what state. So, yeah, most of the folks in their states, the best way, and Bill, are you still around on the call with us, Bill Hosey? I don't see him. I think he may have been dropped.
I can message him. He's usually pretty responsive on Facebook.
Well, what he did.
The Oklahoma, our first ride, I've got all of our representatives, senators, and all that. I've got them listed. You know, if you just click on it, and it'll show you all their email addresses and all that.
Obviously, we'll be updating that every 2 years, right?
Yeah, right.
But the best way to get that information, Jim, in your state, in your particular state, call up your Secretary of State. Call a state office and tell them that you would like a list of your representatives.
Yeah. Can I do that for a random state, though? Because I'm in Rhode Island, so I don't really need to write anything to my... We've already ratified it.
Not certain if you could do that from a random state, because they might ask you if you're a resident or not.
They
I'm
probably
not sure.
will ask for an address, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah, they probably will. You know, give it a try. You don't know until you try, right?
That's true.
So
it would be interesting to find out if it's possible.
Yeah.
You can find it online. I know you can get it online.
You definitely can get it online. Yeah. I just have trouble navigating government websites. They confuse me.
Yeah. Bill Hosey was telling me the other day that he had to go get a new book from the Topeka State Capitol here in Kansas. And I'm pretty sure the way he was talking, they had revised the book, so it's reformatted in a different way. It identifies the representatives by office now in the Capitol. So it's really interesting to watch them dance and the people start moving. And we ain't even moved yet. We're still sitting on the porch deciding which way to go.
Well, that's very interesting. Okay. Very interesting indeed. Well, thank you, Jen. I think that's a great idea, and anything anybody can do to help. Somebody had brought it up earlier about the best way to reach your local representative is during campaign time. And I kind of wanted to bring that up a little bit, you know, reiterate that. When we start going into our sessions and we have folks that are running for the office again, they're running, you know, campaigning like crazy, they're going to be falling all over themselves to make promises. That's the time you can start locking these folks in. And we really need to get in there and talk to them then, because that's the only time they're ever going to really be listening to you.
Okay.
They'll make all kinds of promises, but I really feel that we can make some inroads during that time as well. So let's not forget about these representatives when they're out there, our local representatives out there campaigning.
So
and remind ourselves.
Are local cycles all the same when it comes to campaigning?
I don't know. I've seen it vary from state to state.
Okay, so we got to find out when they're going to be campaigning in Oklahoma.
Correct, yeah. You have to find out, for instance, what their terms are, how long they've been in office and what their term is when they're going to be leaving, how long they've been in. Some have been in for two, some for four. Wait a minute. The terms of service for state representatives is just two, isn't it, or is it 4 years?
No, it's typically two in every state.
Yeah.
The dates will vary for primaries, and also the deadline for filing will vary. But in Texas, for example, you've got to file with the Secretary of State by December 31, or maybe the first business day after, which would be January 2 or 3, depending on the weekend. But you've got to file your intent to run with one of the parties or as an independent. But then the spring primary will vary, and it varies from state to state. But you can know this. Every state is facing this in an even year. So it doesn't really matter. You know, you'll have to find out the dates specifically to the state, but they're all running in that same period. It's universal.
When the state representatives come up for re-election, do they all come up for re-election at the same time, or is it kind of staggered?
They do. They do run because they have two-year terms. Yes, they have two-year terms. The state senators will vary from 4 to 6 years, and they do not come up in every election cycle.
Correct. Okay. Well, it's good to make that clear so that we understand that, you know, all of our state representatives will be running for office at the same time, and that is a great way to really get in there and talk to them. It doesn't matter whether they're in your district or not. Let's talk to them all. They're campaigning. They're going to be talking to the people, so let's get out there and go meet them and talk to them as well.
That's right. That's right. A taxi cab driver in D.C. one time told me, you know, a congressman only has two jobs. And I'm sitting there thinking, running my mind through the Constitution, what on earth is he talking about? He says to get elected and to get reelected. That's all he needs to think about. And that is, he hits it right on the head. That's all they think about.
In fact, that's almost a direct quote from Congressman X, that book Congressman X. That's almost exactly how they think about it. They have two jobs, getting elected and reelected. That's true.
The election begins the day after the election. The next campaign begins the next day.
That's right. That's right. They start campaigning the next day, but it's the year before that they're really pushing.
I found it very interesting that the campaigning was what the upperclassmen would use to torment the lower classmen. And by that, I mean the senators over the representatives that come from Congressman X. He's just rep, but he was always talking about how if he could ever get to that place, all his donations were pretty well sealed. He didn't have to worry about campaigning after that point. Thought that was interesting.
So, a question I was going to ask, we obviously need to move forward and get some action going. Please, everybody, if you don't know who your state representatives are in your state, it's not that hard to look up. You can contact your Secretary of State and ask them to send you a copy, or you can even go to your state capitol. And in Jen's case, you can find it online, of course. And in Jen's case, if you're not trusting the online and you want to give it a go and call up, you know, another state for that information, by all means, go for it. Try it. You don't know until you try. So, but that being said, when this all starts falling into place, how is this going to benefit us? We've got plenty of representatives in our state. How is it going to make our local representatives feel when we have more federal representation? How is it going to we need to also find a way that appeals to our local representatives that this is something they want to do as well. You know, politicians, they're in it for themselves all the time. So regardless of what people are asking, screaming, and telling them that they want, we're going to vote you in, we're going to vote you out, you know, it's still, you know, got to be what's in it for them. They want to know what's in it for them. So does anybody have any ideas of what's in it for our local state representatives if we're able to get our first strike passed?
If I may be so bold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. The state rep is constantly being beat up by his federal counterpart and told how to vote on certain key issues in the state legislature. Things that will affect national policy. And the federal congressman is continually saying to the 4 or 5 state reps in his district back home, you had better vote for this bill or else I'll see that you don't get any federal funding for highways or for construction projects or anything. I'll cut you off. They are big bullies about this. If we turn the tables and every state rep has 2 or 3 federal congressman in his district and is the one who gets to redraw those lines every 10 years, it will change completely the dynamic. They will be coming hat in hand to the state rep.
That changes.
Please, please, don't put me in that district with all those fill in the blank. Okay, farmers.
That changes the balance of power, doesn't it?
It changes the balance of power. This is a powerful argument.
Yes, it is a power. That is really good that you brought that forward. Thank you so much, Daniel. And it's important that we try to help our state representatives understand this, too. It's kind of like you want to have a coffee talk chat with your state representative and say, look, do you understand? What kind of, you know, how far are you getting with the issues and the problems and the bills that you want to bring forward? And, you know, how far are you getting? How beat up are you by, you know, your federal representatives. These kind of conversations we should be having with our state representatives. We need to know what they're thinking and doing and what's going on with them. And anyway, we should be having these conversations, right, Daniel?
I think so. If you can ask, say, to your state representative in a quick, short question, let me ask you a question. Do you think your federal congressman needs more power or less power? And then kind of step back, because they might kind of explode on you. And you will find out real quick that they have a strong opinion on that, if they're going to be honest. And then you say, look, did you know there's a way to reduce their power by reducing their number, you know, by reducing their districts in size? Let me tell you about this. And there you are. There's your opening.
That's great. Can you write that down and send it to me so I don't forget?
It's funny. I'm writing that down as we speak.
Well, you know, I can always re-listen to the call. I forgot.
Do you think your federal representative should have more power or less power? Oh, on a state level, correct? Is that how you meant it?
Just in general, too.
Federal congressman, do you think Congress needs more power or less power?
There you go.
Now, I use that line in gun shows and in places when people are walking by and I'm trying to get traffic to come to my table, and I'll just point at them and when I catch their eye, and I'll say, hey, I'm taking a poll. Do you think Congress needs more power or less power? Holy mackerel, you gotta cover the ears of small children when you ask that.
You know, it might be worth it to make that into a banner, that question, and put it on a booth somewhere.
Yes, it's a good one.
There you go.
To attract people over to talk. People love to give their opinion.
You could ask David about that, David Zuniga. We sat in the gun show in San Antonio, and I did that all day long, and he was so sick of the question, but he had to laugh. I turned around when they finally left, and he would just be back there laughing. he really got a kick out of it. Some of them, yeah. And then I would say, well, look, I've got a little sign-up sheet here, and here's a flyer. This, you know, the flyer that we were using was, this is a story of a crime. That's that little article that I wrote. It's a two-pager, one sheet of paper. And, you know, just say, here, take this, and if you want to get on our sign-up sheet, we agree with you, and put your name and email right here, and what county you live in. And that was all I asked for. So, you know, it's very, very easy to get names when you put it like that. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Libertarians or whatever.
And you know, a petition, I think a petition is a good idea. Even if it doesn't do too much, I mean, even if they just throw them away, if you can get enough signatures, it gets their attention. Like, they count them.
Jim, the other thing is that when you get them to sign a petition, we have their name and address. That's what we're after.
Right. We have their name and address. And we also have the opportunity to explain our mission and give them info.
Yes. Yes.
Now, are we going to call this a petition, or are we going to call it a signature page? Because when we call it a petition, it's like we're going to our state representatives and petitioning them to listen to us.
Doesn't matter. Either way.
I think that a petition along with letters would probably be pretty effective if you did both.
There you go. I was thinking a signature page of lots of people in their districts, other districts in the state, signing a signature page saying this is something that the people want in your district, or the people in the state of, you know, whatever want. And then the letters with them. I think that's a strong statement, because I feel I don't want us to be so hat in hand walking up to our state representative. I mean, yes, we need to show them respect, but at the same time, they do work for us. We don't need to petition them to listen to what we have to say and read what we have here in front of us. So we can certainly do something like that, but let's not do a petition. Let's do a signature page like that.
I like that. Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, let's do a signature page instead with our statement. You know, this is the original First Amendment. We want this ratified in our state. And, you know, then have all these folks with their signatures and ask them to sign their name as well. And like you said, they have their name there, all of that too. And that would be, you know, something that we can easily do in their state capitals, if anybody has the gumption to get up and go into their state capital and knock on doors, find people in office. That would certainly get their attention. Like, oh, yeah, well, I have this signature page with, you know, 1,000-plus signatures from people in your district. That would certainly get their attention.
You know, if you're walking door to door, then everybody who signs that is in his district. But if you're in a gun show or in a county fair, then they may come from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different districts. So then you're going to need, if you want to do that, you want to be specific to his district, you're going to have a separate sign up sheet for each person by district. Now most people don't know their district. A few of them will have their voter registration card with them. They'll pull it out. They'll find, you know, you can ask if they have it. You can look at it and find it. But you may want to ask them for their zip code or for their county, or if they don't know their district, you know, then I need to be able to look that up by address. That's going to put a lot of work on the sign up on the person taking the names.
Correct. I was about to say, you know, make sure that we at least have information about like a zip code or a county, so we have an idea of what district they may lie in. So yeah, that is correct. But that it's easily done if we're asking for a signature page, we're asking people to sign and give their address anyway because we want to show these are residents here.
Another thing to keep in mind with a signature page or a petition, you want all of the wording to be on every page so that people know that that they knew what they were signing for when they signed.
Of course.
In fact, 10 pages, 10 names per page is plenty.
Yeah.
And that way you have a bigger stack of pages.
There you go.
I'm serious. But if you want to beat up Lewis Moore in Oklahoma, you need to walk in with a stack of pages that are all in his district. He's not afraid of us down here in Texas. He's not afraid of you guys up in Nebraska. He will pay attention to the Okies when they come in because, you know, but their name is on the petition, then he's got to see it. And probably it's an opportunity to take a picture of him looking at it or of somebody holding it in front of him and get someone to snap a shot, then send that by email to everybody on the list and say, your petition has just been delivered or your wishes have been delivered to Lewis Moore. Now you've got his attention. Carbon copy Lewis Moore and give him publicity. But, you know, once you've got 10, 20, 30, 40 people in a district, it's time for that group to have their own organization, do their own promoting, and be reporting back to Jerry Kellums or whoever is the state coordinator.
Now, how do we help promote?
Jerry can't do all this. Jerry can't do all this for the whole state. Nobody can.
Absolutely. What we need to do is make sure that we're going into the groups and asking, like, look, we need people to do this, this, and this. Because if you're not specific about what you're asking for help for, no one's going to step up. That's just the way that it works with volunteerism. You have to be very specific. Can somebody write up a petition?
And there's also something else to consider, too, is how do we bring more people to Jerry? Let them know he's there and promote it out there in Oklahoma to the people there. Get them interested and let them know, hey, you can do this.
So when I make
the word out in Oklahoma.
When I make a post about focusing on Oklahoma, if everybody who is on the board and on these calls shares from the page that post, then anybody who is in our friends list that's from Oklahoma is going to see that.
There you go.
Okay, and then on top of that, then what I can do is, or what we can do is the petition is probably our first step. Not petition, but the signature page is probably our first step because it gets us emails, and then we can send out email blasts to all the people on the signature page, giving them more info about our group and sending the link to the Oklahoma Facebook group.
Erin, did you not have a job description or a job results description for county coordinators?
Not for county coordinators, no.
How do you have it broken down? Because I know at one time David did Tactical Civics, and I don't see why.
Yes, he did.
What he called a county founder. We should, you know, we need to probably be doing and I think it may be up to the state coordinator, but in Oklahoma, you either need to have every time you can get a volunteer in a given county, then the person in that county is the person that does the work, and he may have one or two or three districts if it's a big city, but But there should be a job results description. Here's your job description, and here's how we know you fulfilled it when you're doing these various and sundry things. And it's fundamental to an organization that we have local leaders who know what their job is and are looking for people with skills to do those various jobs, because, you know, they differ from job to job. But that you can get that from David, what he's got for the founders, what we expect from the founders. I know he has it because I helped him write it at one time. But, I don't know where it is anymore, but it was in the manual that we wrote together. And it may be, though, that a state director or coordinator would prefer to have his team set up by legislative district, and that would work just as well. But it's then the lines don't follow county lines, and they're jagged, and they're gerrymandered, and it may be harder to do. So it's an either-or thing. But I'd love to have one guy coordinating Lewis Moore's a pack of hounds who are after him until he votes yes. So see, that'd be
okay.
A scary interview. It depends on how big your group is. If Jerry's only got 10 people, he's going to be stretched too thin. But if he's got 500, well, then he can start slicing that cake any way he wants to slice it.
That's right. And that's what I'd like to do, is try to help him build up, you know, and have, you know, 500 people. And how do we promote him and promote, you know, his website and bring people forward to him as a state coordinator. So I agree with you, Daniel. I've made a note of that. County
job
coordinators or legislative district. Yeah, job description. So
there are two things that go together. Job description. Here's what we expect of you. And then here is a job results description. This, the way it works is you're to make sure that you know what districts are in your county.
Mm-hmm. You still there?
I just lost everybody. But Darren.
I was going to say, did I lose everybody, darn it? I'm trying to hold on to all these calls here. Oh, he did. He did just fall right off. Darn it.
Well, we got a little bit of a break here. I want to ask Jen, or tell Jen, that I'm not seeing her on my list as a member of our First Right Oklahoma. But it is a
Let
public
me go
group.
Jen
check.
Isn't.
Anything
I'm pretty
can
sure
be shared.
I'm pretty sure I was in the group.
Our First Right - Oklahoma. But it's like I say, it's a public group. Anything can be shared from there. But I do need you to be a member.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I joined. Oh, wait, maybe I didn't.
I didn't see you in the member list. There you are.
Are you willing to...
Yeah, just say yeah. I don't even know where those questions came from.
Wait, what is this question? Would you be willing to write letters? Yes. Okay, I'm pretty sure that... I don't know how I got kicked out of the group, because I knew I was in it at one point.
Really?
Yeah, maybe it was just a Facebook glitch. Facebook likes to kick people out of groups they don't like.
It took me a minimum of 3-4 tries to repost articles and our call announcement, because Facebook sometimes just doesn't like it when I do those things and keeps telling me, you can't do that. You can't
do
that.
I saw them. And it would say pending post, and I would click on it and say content no longer available.
Yeah, if it doesn't like what you're posting, yep, that's one of the ways
apparently.
That they censor things.
Great. Well,
I even get that in Messenger sometimes, where I'll try and message a link to a website, and if it's a flagged website, I'll get a message about this goes against their community standards and cannot be shared. Okay.
That's
well,
Facebook for you.
So we have, we've talked about, I like your idea, Jen, of how we can promote Oklahoma, you know, put together what you said, advertise OFR, you know, in Oklahoma, let's make that the 12th state and get the word out to our friends or family, people we know in Oklahoma. And if we don't know anybody, find a way to get the word out in Oklahoma anyway. So some of us are close enough we could almost drive. So others, you know, can't. So, but I really like the idea of let's find a way that we can promote Oklahoma, help Jerry bring more people to him, so that he can get folks started down that road and get them talking to their state representatives. So,
oh, by the way, I just found the campaign schedule for Oklahoma.
There you go.
Ooh.
So I'll send this link over to somebody.
I think you just piqued Jerry's interest.
It's all different. Like 2020, 2022, 2024. Depending on who's running for what. So it's like all staggered. But
interesting. Now, is it just the position, you know, the district position to be filled, or are there actual names?
There are actual names already. So, like.
So they already know who's going to be running for re-election in 2024?
For some of the positions, yeah. So, but.
Wow.
It's not really
maybe
showing.
Senators.
Yeah, it's showing, like, lieutenant governor. It's showing, oh, let me see, the next, where was it? Next state constitutional officer elections in 2022. And it has Kevin Sitt as governor running for Republican. And then it lists a whole bunch of other different things. State treasurer, state corporation commission, state legislator, U.S. senator.
Sounds like these are all incumbents, though.
Yeah, they do sound like incumbents.
Then it goes into district, though, but it's not saying dates for those.
There is a whole page with all the legislator names by district with their phone numbers, their addresses, their legislative assistants, and all that stuff. So it's not.
Yeah, we're more looking for when they're going to be
elections, when they're going to be up for re-election.
Yeah, the next campaign trail is what I'm looking for.
The Secretary of State will have that information, and it should be online.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're again, I know you're reluctant. You don't always put it online, Jen, but
I'll try. I'll try,
yeah.
And look for it on there.
we've been doing the best we can with that information too. But yeah, there's Bill. Bill, you told me that you on a regular basis go up to the Capitol or contact the Secretary of State, I believe it is, to get a current listing of our state representatives. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was just up there yesterday.
Can you kind of give us all a clue as to how you went about it and how you get that information?
I just walked in and said, hey, what are you guys doing? And that little small talk, and then I said, hey, that little thing over there on your desk, I need one of those. And so they gave it to me.
And what is that?
It was a list of all the legislators, room numbers and all that stuff, phone numbers. And
their assistants and everything, too?
Yeah.
Really?
So where did you call? I missed that.
The place was closed because we're not in legislation now, but I happened to overhear some voices in another room, so I just checked the door and it wasn't locked. So I just walked right in on these guys and said, what are you doing? And they looked at each other and then they started talking, and one thing led to another, and I went out of there with that booklet I was needing.
Nice.
And that's the Bill Hosey method. and Bill, didn't you tell me once, though, that you were able to contact your Secretary of State and they sent you a copy of that as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you,
and
if
not,
you call
not only that
by
guy,
telephone, if you call any Secretary of State by telephone, they will send you a copy of a book that has everybody's name in it.
Even if you don't.
Or if you call your own state representative and say, and talk to the girl that answers the phone, she'll send it to you.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
They're probably not going to send it to someone out of state, though.
Well.
Yeah, they'll send it to you.
They probably could.
That's all they do. You just make them happy on the phone. Ask them about their grandbabies or something. You know, get them talking about something they like to talk about. And they'll send you the shirt off their back.
You just say, hey, how's your mama and them doing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Yes. Yeah. And make sure, if you can, that it has a list of their assistants, too, the legislative assistants, because we've found that they are our best avenue to get to those representatives. You can find out who their assistants are, and many times they work for more than one representative. So you can catch the ear of maybe two representatives at one time. And I try to remind everybody that a lot of times everything filters through that assistant first. So if you can, just like Bill did, be personable, be nice to them, you'd be surprised how fast they turn around and say, oh, sure, I'll put this right on his desk, you know. So those
now
kinds
when it
of things.
To a, when it comes to a signature page, who would we be sending that to?
I'm not even sure if we should even send that.
I would never send my signature page to anyone.
I was going to say, yeah, Daniel, step in with me here, because I believe that's something that we should take in a big manila envelope and go.
That's what two or three of you, two or three of you walk into his office together. And
walk into, yeah.
Preferably have made an appointment and
yes.
Have somebody there with a camera taking pictures. And then you just say, look, I've got these, and I wouldn't give him the original. I would give him a photocopy. And say, here are the names of people, you know, and but we've got the originals, and we're going to keep them in touch with to find out what your response is to their request. This guy works for us. Don't act like you're going in there and he's the big boss, and you know, and we're begging him to do something. We're coming in here to tell him how he needs to, you know, this is how the cow eats the cabbage, buddy. Here's what needs to happen, and we're looking for you to have to do it, or the guy that replaces you is going to do it. Because, you know,
this is what we want.
Thank you.
So then if we're doing the signature pages by district, then essentially we would be making appointments with every representative in every district to walk that in.
Of course. But you want to start with one or two.
Yeah. One at a time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
That is great.
That is great. I'm going to have to re-listen to this call and take notes, because I did not take any notes.
I don't think Johnny gave his usual caveat on that tonight, so sorry. But I do appreciate everybody's input. Wow, just a really great call, all this information. And I love the idea of focusing on the state, and let's get going on that. Oklahoma.
Well, Aaron and Jen, I have invited both of you to be administrators of the Oklahoma page, so all you got to do is...
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. I will go add your group to the page.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And thank you, everybody, for all the other input that we've discussed tonight, because this is important for us to know. Absolutely.
Aaron, can I put a quick plug for MeWe, because sometimes... when people like Jerry and I get kicked out of Facebook for a week or a month at a time, MeWe is a good alternative to go have a little discussion, private discussions in the alley, in the outside.
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, MeWe, please, folks. We've got our first right on MeWe as well. We have chats going on there all the time, and rarely do we ever get – I don't think we've ever been censored over there. So check out – is it MeWe.com? Is that right?
Yes.
Yep. Go sign up, MeWe.com. Yep.
Yep. And feel free
to
use a different name if it makes you feel better, because I know several of us do that.
That's correct.
Bubba.
Just make sure we all know each other. Yeah, right, Bubba? Make sure we all know each other. Who are you again? That guy that's got all those great paintings. What's his name?
Bubba.
He's a harebrained.
You know what?
That's Angus.
Jerry, I'm having trouble linking your group even though I'm an admin. I don't know if it's...
maybe it's a closed group?
No, I don't think... I don't think that's what it is, though, because yours is a closed group, and I linked it fine.
Okay. Facebook is just not happy with that.
Yeah, so you know what? Jerry, I'm going to add you as an administrator on the page, and then I'll talk you through how to add your group.
Okay.
So let me just figure out how to do that real quick.
Terrific. Oh, gosh, we have been together for a long time this evening. Thank you, everybody. Before we leave, though, I would like to ask again if anybody has any preferences for date, day, or time for our next board meeting that we need to plan before the end of August.
Say that one more time.
We have to have a board meeting before the end of August. So I'm asking anyone for preferences of date, day, and time for our board members in particular that are present. If you have a personal preference, please let me know. You can email me, message me, and we will try to get a board meeting put together before the end of the month. We need to get that done. So have a lot to discuss. We have some positions we want to get appointed and approved. So. And some other updates on things. Yes.
Aaron?
Yes.
Aaron, this is Dan.
Yeah, Dan, hi.
I'm not a member of the board on our first right, but I'll just throw a date out there and y'all can hash it. I think a good date would be like August the 17th, which is a Saturday.
August the 17th is Saturday. How do people feel about giving up time on their Saturday? Boy, I'm hearing crickets.
Literally.
I got crickets out here. Are those mine?
Well, unless there is any objections, I think we ought to try to shoot for the second and third week of August.
Why don't we make a fixed date next Monday?
Yeah, I have
get your input and fix the date next Monday. Go ahead, Dixie.
No, I have classes in the evening on August 15th and 19th. So other than that, I'm pretty open.
Right in the middle of 15 and 19 is 17.
Yeah. True.
Good point, Dan.
I don't work anymore, but there's just something about Saturday from, 50 years of not wanting to work on the weekend, you know?
Well, I don't want to also conflict with any strategic planning meetings as well. So let's talk about maybe trying to shoot for the third week of August. If there are any objectionable days, everyone let me know. Otherwise, we'll shoot for something like the 20th, first, the middle of the week. That way we can avoid a Thursday.
Yeah, what time are you thinking about? Because I'm actually working that day till 6 o'clock Central.
Wow, okay.
Well, so, I mean, as long as it was like 7 or after, I would be all right. 7 Central.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. If that is okay with East Coast folks for an 8 o'clock start, would that be okay? 8 p.m. too late for most folks, or would they prefer to meet earlier? And that would be, 7 p.m. Central would be 8 p.m. Eastern. My apologies. Dixie, 8 p.m. is okay for you?
Yeah, it is. You know, we have the strategic planning meeting this Thursday. You know, we don't necessarily have to stay on a 2-week schedule. So if Thursday worked better for people, Thursday seems to be working pretty well as far as the strategic planning meetings. So I don't know if you wanted to do it on the Thursday, which would be fine.
Oh, I don't want to fatigue everyone with, you know, two phone calls and in one day having to go through so much. That puts people in a brain fatigue moment at that point. Tell you what, I'll start shooting some dates and times out to folks, and if everybody's okay, let's talk about the third week of August. If that doesn't work for anybody, I would like to see us get a meeting in our board meeting set by the last week of the month, very latest. But we prefer the third week if we can do that.
Okay.
So that's out there for everybody. I'll email everybody about the board meeting and see if we can set a date. That third week.
Sounds good to me.
Terrific. Thank you, Dan. That helps a lot, your input. And thank you, Dan, again. I appreciate that.
Thank everybody.
It's,
you're
nice.
Sweet.
It's nice to know those things. It's nice to have some information there and somebody stepping forward. So thank you so much. We'll talk about that. I'll send out an email to everybody, all the board members, and we'll see if we can get that third week of August set down for folks. If there's any conflict that anybody has, please do let me know, and we'll just keep moving forward. And Daniel New has put out a call to Joe Sager, who's kind of our web person. He's helped us out a great deal in the past, and asked him if he can help put together a MailChimp program for Our First Right. So we've got Jen Perry working on this end with me. We're going to put together all these emails, and hopefully Joe Sager can get us a MailChimp account, and we can have our email blast set up to go out automatically, and we can get things rolling there. We're kind of slow on the gun because of our limited technology in certain places, so having that MailChimp account would really help a great deal. We can do so much more with that. We've discovered that Google limits us. We can't do mass emails and groups and send out, you know, automated ones. It's been problematic for me with my particular Hotmail account, and so it would be nice to have, you know, something that's across the board stable, you know, all of us can use. So thank you, Jen, for that. And we'll continue to keep chugging on. Please contact your state representatives. If you don't know who all your state representatives are, call the Secretary of State or look it up online. And let's start finding, you know, where these folks live and see if we can get into their lives or at least start talking to them and finding out, you know, what their concerns are as a state representative and how we can help them as their employer. That might be a great way to approach them, too. So thank you, everybody. Gosh, we've run quite a long time. If anybody would like to stay on the call for a little after-call session to keep on talking after the recording, please feel free to hang around. But I want to thank everybody for your time and your input, and it's just great to hear all the wonderful voices tonight. God bless you all. Well, have a good evening, and stay safe.
Good night.